to extend a greeting to you all this morning in the precious name of the Father and the Son and the Lord Jesus Christ. May His grace and mercy be upon you as you live for Him. This morning, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 28. We go a lot, so we don't preach about this a lot, but it's still a message that we need to be reminded of. There is a lot of talk about it. Like I said, we go a lot, so we sometimes it just seems like we don't need to preach about it, but we do need to preach about it once in a while. So we want to go ahead and do that. Verse 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. This is the close of Matthew. Mark also has a similar closing where Jesus gives instructions to go into all the earth, go into all the world and teach and preach to every creature. It's called the Great Commission by some. There's many people who have really taken this seriously, the part of go. But that's about all they hear is go. They go and they want to maybe teach people how to be saved, how to say a prayer, or just to publish just the name of Jesus. But as we read this, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And there is the promise again, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." As we teach and as we go and teach all things, we have the promise that Jesus will be with us. It's just like every other promise in the Bible. As we begin to obey and do it, then we have the promise of the Comforter and the Spirit to come. It's given to those who obey Him. And it's just like that with the preaching. As we go and preach, Jesus is with us, even unto the end of the world. Some people have tried to put it off, "Well, that was just to the apostles." Well, the end of the world didn't happen when the apostles died. The end of the world still hasn't happened. The message is just as for us today as disciples of the Lord as it was for them in His time. This is, some say, His last commandment. Go into all the world and teach them what I've taught you. Teach them my commandments. Teach them to observe all things. That's what we want to talk about this morning, is preaching the Word of God. Preaching and teaching. I've looked up in dictionaries the word preaching. Preaching is going to people, going to places that don't want to hear the Word of God. That's what preaching is preaching to people and talking to people. Quit preaching to me. I don't want to hear it. Preaching is something whenever in the description in the Webster's Dictionary, it brings out the word officious in a bold manner, trying to change someone's course of action, either to get them to stop doing something or to persuade them to start doing something. Preaching. People don't like to be preached to. Especially if it's a man doing it, another man doing it. But that is the method God has chosen. Preaching. 31 years ago, I was in Europe on a cattle judging team representing the United States. We went to the World Expo in Wales, England. It's the World Expo. People from all over the world had come to this place, this fair. And we were walking in it, and they'd closed off the city streets getting into this place. And we had to walk for a half a mile even to get into it from where we parked. And there was a road that was leading up to this place. And the road was full of people walking into this fair. And as we were sporting on life's brink, getting ready to go to this fair, walking, and everyone was laughing and having a good time. Seems it's that way whenever, take a little sidetrack here, whenever I noticed in my children, whenever we still did things like that, we always went in laughing and came home crying. Children always love to go to something exciting like that, and they go in laughing, but they come home crying. Then I noticed whenever we went out to do something they didn't like, they went into it crying, but came home laughing. Just kind of just throw that in for you, something to think about. We were going into this fair, and everyone was having a good time. As we were walking along, the crowd just parted. To the right, to the left. There was a man standing in the middle of the road. And he was preaching, warning people. Just standing there. And I think he was saying, repent. I don't even really remember what he said. But it painted a picture in my mind. There's a man standing for Jesus. And the world thronging its way right into pleasure and good times. And he was standing right in the middle of it, just preaching. No one listening. No one caring, it appeared. But he was standing there in opposition, trying to warn people that there's eternity ahead. Trying to warn people I thank the Lord for that man. I grew up in church. I grew up trying to do what's right. But that 15 seconds it took me to walk past that man, showed me more Christianity than all of what I grew up knowing. I'm glad I grew up knowing what I knew. Thankful for that. And I don't know anything about that man. But I knew he could see men's hearts and souls. And he was doing what he could. He may have been doing it all wrong. He might have had a wrong message. I don't know. But I saw Christ standing in between damnation and a wicked world laughing their way to hell. And someone just trying to put up a warning sign. Someone caring enough just to stand there on the edge and say, where are you going? What are you heading for? Turn around. Hardly anyone wants to listen. There's hardly anyone that it appears it makes any difference to. That man may have spent, I don't know how long he did that. He may have spent his whole life doing that. And no one may have ever responded to what he was doing. That he knows of. But God sees. It was 6 years after that before I ever yielded my life to the Lord. But there was a seed planted and it grew. All I could think about at that time was cows. All I could think of that time is being a successful cowman, cattleman, being the best in the world. But that seed grew. Thank you. exposing. He was confronting the world. He was standing in contradiction to the world. Preaching is not some man standing in front of a pulpit getting paid to tell people what they want to hear. It's not someone with itching ears paying someone to teach them. Bible condemns that. It's not being invited to speak in huge conventions because you're popular. Not being too abrasive with what you're saying for fear of not getting to preach anymore to a large crowd. I would love to be able to stand in front of a big crowd and be able to teach and preach. But I don't have a respectable enough message to do that. Jesus never preached at a convention where he was invited to be the speaker. Neither did Paul. They went in, and if they did speak, it was because they just opened it up for a few minutes and they got up and spoke the truth. They weren't there as a reverend guest to speak, to be praised. Whenever they were given the opportunity to speak, they was on the black or the white side. They weren't the gray side in the middle. Christianity, the preaching of today, is not going to be understood by men. It never has been. And it never will be. It's not going to be accepted by the majority. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Jesus said, go. Teach. Go preach. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 17. There had been a discussion here about who was baptized by Paul and who was baptized by Cephas. They were dividing up who had the correct or the most purest Christianity, because of who they were baptized by. Just begin in verse 11 says, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For it is the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness. For it is the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 14. Now let's just go right on. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us. By his Spirit. That verse is often used about all the glories of heaven. We don't even, I hadn't seen or, it's not talking about that. It's talking about the kingdom of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God. He's revealed it unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might freely know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Listen to what Paul's saying there. God's Spirit's revealed something to me and the church that he hasn't told the world yet. You say, oh, that's pretty high-handed. God spoke to you, huh? Sure has. Praise the Lord. And he would like to speak to you, but you won't hear it. You won't have anything to do with it. He's trying to speak to you through other men. And he's not using enticing words of men's wisdom to get that done. He uses just the plain old truth. Not beautiful, not enticing. It's not like trying to package up a beautiful bottle of Coke to sell, putting a pretty red label on it, putting it in a jug of ice and say, boy, doesn't look that, don't that look attractive? That's man's wisdom. That's man's wisdom, trying to make it look beautiful so that others might be drawn to it. Spirit's just out there teaching the plain old raw truth. The Bible says that when the Spirit comes, He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. He's not placed. He didn't seek His advice from an advertising agency. He didn't get counsel from somebody that's a good salesman. Paul's speech was contemptible, he said, that they said of him. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. People are not going to understand that. They're not going to understand. Because they're on a completely different realm than we are. We've been born again. We've heard God's call. And it's higher than what the world can hear and understand. And all we can do is just simply try to declare what we've been told with a hope that someone with ears to hear will hear it. That's why we go publicly to the street. That's why when we just live our lives around our neighbors, live a holy life, and we get an opportunity, that we try to talk to them. Doesn't mean we have to just go slam everybody and put them in their place. There's a method, and it's reoccurring continually. And it goes through the depths of religion. The heights and breadth of religion. People come up to us, and I've noticed this in Jesus. He's a good master. First off, they come up like a diplomat. We got a letter this week from a man, and it just so fits this. We hear it every week. They come up and says, "Wow, I really appreciate what you're doing. You're Christians, right?" Yeah, we're all Christians. Yeah, it's just, it's a good thing. You're out here just being bold and standing for the Lord. But do you have to just say things truthfully? Couldn't you say it a little bit different? Couldn't you make it a little smoother? Couldn't you just go buy him a Coke and sit down and talk to him? Couldn't you dress it up just a little bit? And then they go to berating and degrading about how it is and how it's wrong. And then when they finish, they go right back to being a diplomat and say, shake hands. "Well, I see we're all just Christians and you're just doing it another way." So they want to be right there with us again. They're trying to take something that's black and white and make it more palatable to the world. Turn it gray. The Lord brought a sword after Peter preached to those that the multitudes that had stopped to listen, some of them cried out that they were because they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart by the message. And you can tell when someone's cut to the heart because they yell, "Ouch." Sometimes it's a nervous giggle. Sometimes it's a swear word. Sometimes it's a go home with a name attached to it. But it's still an ouch, just of a different form. The sword hurts sometimes. People cry out, "Ouch." But it isn't the method that's the problem. That's what's argued, because that's what's seen, or that's what's saw. Whatever you, however that's supposed to be there. My speech is not too well either. The real problem is even the people that are arguing against the truth are trying to use man's wisdom, trying to make it gray, trying to make it fit, because they don't see it themselves. A lot of people have got a bad taste in their mouth about preachers. They've got an idea in their head because they've heard someone standing there just yelling, trying to cause a fight, pick an argument with someone. Arguing with fools. Getting mad and getting upset. And the people that are watching see that and realize there's nothing there. They're both just arguing religion. But when you can boldly stand and declare a truth and do it with the gentleness and kindness that's in Christ, people notice that. Don't mean do it sheepishly. We can stand there boldly, but whenever they go to mocking and yelling and screaming, we can take it patiently. I haven't always done that. It's pretty aggravating sometimes to see how foolish people are, and you just want to grab them by the neck and shake them. But the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. We don't follow our passions. We guide our passions. And when we learn something, we get up and go again. It's not about the method we use. It's about the message we have that they can't understand. In Jesus' time, people couldn't read. And everyone was on the street. And if a man had a message and he stood out on the street and began preaching, people would gather around and say, what's this man trying to tell us? That's how the news was spread at that time. So people would come and lift up their voice and tell the news. And everyone understood it. It wasn't an angry, screaming match. It was a man telling the news. Today, people can read. Back then, they didn't have car windows they could roll up and turn the radio up so they didn't have to hear the news. Holding signs isn't the only way. We've never said that. I've begged men to show me a better way to reach the multitudes. All the people that complained about what I've done and how we've done this. The Mennonites, I've begged Mennonite bishops, you go and I'll do it however you want to do it. I'll stand right behind you praying. Show me a better way. If you got a better way, go do it. Don't just bellyache about it. Show me a better way. I can stand behind that message with a sign, and it's a firm, strong, hard message. And when people come up, I can stand behind that sign and be kind and try to explain why it's that way, if they really want to know. We were rebuked because there was no love and compassion in our message. This letter that I've got just didn't sense any love or compassion in your message. We drove 2 days to go visit this man, spent a day and a night with him. And I replied, I just asked him, I said, how did we respond to you whenever we came in your door? And we've disagreed for 2 days. How did we come? He said, with compassion and sincerity. And I just told him, I said, the same compassion and sincerity is how we hold signs. It's how we talk to people when we talk to people, because that's who we are. It's got a bad reputation, but still, the best method I know of to get the message to the people. And it's about a bigger blessing to me after someone's mocked and ridiculed almost every time they see the truth being held forth and people come up mocking and arguing. And if I can respond with graciousness and kindness, someone always comes up and says, I saw a little Christ there. doesn't mean standing around arguing with fools. We have compassion for them. That's why we're trying sometimes. But don't let them draw you in. There's only one thing worse than there isn't any difference between a fool and someone who will argue with one. Go. If you got some rough edges to get taken off of you, let them be taken off. I'm still learning. I still get pretty upset sometimes. But go. Keep going. There's no retirement plan in the Lord's work this side of eternity. One of the prophets said, "How long, O Lord, do we keep on preaching? As long as time exists." It's a real rough paraphrase. In the book of Revelation, there was two men that were killed for preaching. They were still trying to reach this wicked world. Still trying to reach this wicked world. And they were not understood. It just baffles my mind sometimes how close some people can be and still not understand. These couple of chapters here. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." God gave us a sword, not a butter knife, to smooth things over. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is able to divide all those things. Man's wisdom wants to smooth it all over so that God would be more acceptable to man. Well, that's the wrong message. Man needs to be trying to be more acceptable to God. We are ambassadors, not diplomats. An ambassador is a representative from the kingdom that he represents. A diplomat's trying to smooth everything over. An ambassador stands on the kingdom that he comes from. That's what we're called. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be discouraged by it. Watch out for the diplomats. They're trying to make you a diplomat. Everybody wants to teach you something. They come up with a humble line at the beginning and say, "Oh, I know I'm nothing, and you're out here doing something." They come try to sucker you in, trying to make you a diplomat. And you just wish they could see it. And so you try to explain. They can't see it. come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Then I will receive you. What fellowship is light with darkness, or Christ with Beelzebub? There is none. There's not a gray area. There's not an easy way to present the gospel. There's not a smoother way. We can be kind and considerate, but the truth still stands out there, bold. And it's the only thing that'll convert men's souls. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. It's the foolishness of preaching. It's the foolishness of standing out in the middle of the road, going against the world.